It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
And I'm still smiling from that yesterday. That was a lot of fun. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah.
Go ahead and put that trophy on the screen, Key. There it is.
ESPN right Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, ESPN 2. Look at that trophy. We won it as a team, guys. Oh, what? Hey, you want to hear something from Stats Incredible?
Sure.
Jay Will scored 10 of Key and Jay's 11 points. That's 91%. He also had 10 of the 15 total points in the game. Stats Incredible is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life.
Do I get credit for the assist as well? Two Key for
Jay, this is a team. We don't look at who did what. Key scored a point. I did what I did, and you also made your contribution.
No, you try to come in at the end and hold the trophy like that owner.
He's an owner.
That has nothing to do.
Look at him with the tie. He's an owner.
Yeah. With the tie, especially.
Don't know anything about the damn sport, but right. Then come in and grab the trophy.
That's right.
He's an owner.
According to ESPN Stats and Information, Jay scored or assisted on all 11 of Key and Jay's points.
Well,
or assisted.
It's almost like he's good at basketball.
He's two-time Naismith Player of the Year, second-round pick of the NBA draft.
Second pick of NBA draft.
No, second. Get it correct. Yeah, second pick of the NBA draft.
Major difference.
He should.
It's like calling you a first-round pick. You're the first pick.
Okay, I'll correct that. All right. Second pick of the first round. Had it not been for an 8-foot dude, he would have been the first pick overall.
That is correct.
8-foot dude representing billions of dollars in business with the largest emerging economy.
But that's not the reason he was number one, though, Max. He was number one because he was 8 feet tall.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
By the way, the most entertaining part of yesterday.
I'm still stretching.
Yeah. I did wake up sore. My calf was sore. I'm like, damn, what happened out there?
A lot of muscles I did not know I had.
The thing that really went viral yesterday was Max's free throw shot.
Oh, my God. My elbow, okay.
Max, bro, I got so
my
I
form. My
here.
Form was perfect. By the way,
no, it was not.
Oh, it wasn't. Let
Max
me tell you what I did.
Max's guide hand. Your guide hand is supposed to be on the side of the ball, right? And as you shoot, you're supposed to take your guide hand off.
Yeah, here it is.
Max's guide hand was on the back of the ball. Look,
that's right.
It goes to the back. And you got the Bill Cartwright. Why do you do the shoulders like that? And then you hold it.
Well, I was going to do it. I did it with my eyes closed.
See, now you move the guide hand.
Why do you jump?
Yeah, I know, like a little jump shot. The jump was
little kids do when they're in toddler basketball.
Well, I like to go to my daughter's skills development league and study the kids who have not yet had instruction because the purity of their shot is reflected. My elbow still hurts because I put up about 200 free throws the day before. My elbow still hurts.
I just can no longer have you commentate on Stephen Curry's legacy. Oh.
Listen,
if we're talking about...
If you think that would make me gun-shy at all.
We are talking about the greatest shooter after seeing that shot.
That's right.
Do you realize how
hard
that
is? It won't stop me. It won't even slow me down, Jay.
I know it won't. That's why I have to say
it. Do you appreciate now how hard that must be?
Ah, easy. I would have hit my next one.
You say you were going to make it with your eyes closed, and you shot it with your eyes open.
Jay, I hit.
I'll make it with my eyes closed.
No, I shot it with my eyes closed, and then I opened them.
You held it like Bill Cartwright.
You held it?
I was like, lane violation. Yeah. Lane violation. Yeah. It was the holding part.
I look like such an old man, too, doing it. It's really a sad sight. So there it is.
There's the hold.
That's eyes closed.
You actually don't look like an old man. You seriously look like a kid. Yeah. Who parents decided to allow him to run the team because they got older. That's what you look like.
It very much fits in with the theme of New York.
Yeah.
You know, hey, Chuck
Dolan. Max Kellerman, why don't you run the team for mom and dad and everybody?
What I want to know is what my left hand was doing there. It was like kind of like spazzing off to the side and then down.
Well, between that and then, I mean, it was like three possessions in and Barton Allen are just breathing hard. I'm looking at Key. I'm like, Key, come on, let's do some pick and roll. Key's like, I don't got it.
Key, first of all, Jay is playing games. You're playing around. You're messing with Freddie Coleman, the ref. You're messing with Alan Hahn.
I got
the ball
for
a
technical foul in a 2-on-2.
You were messing with everyone to put on a
show.
A moving screen. Freddie Coleman, a moving screen.
I got called for a moving screen.
What the hell? A moving screen? I think this is the play.
And then I slipped.
And Bart just threw you out. Damn.
No,
it's a foul.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at a certain point, it was like you guys had like 5 points, and Key's breathing heavy, and I'm like, Jake, man, it's 2-11. It seemed like a long way to go.
Freddie Coleman looking like a broke-down pimp reffing.
Only referee from the Washington Heights I've ever met, man, with the fedora on.
But it was fun.
And he was like our Scott Foster, man. I'm telling you, the game I was like,
honest,
the
Freddie
game
Coleman wouldn't rig
the game.
The
game was rigged. I got called for 2 fouls, a technical foul.
Well.
I mean, how many free throws you giving Barton Hahn? Free throws, that counted for a point.
We went to the line one time.
I'm not sure calling a moving screen in a 2-on-2 game is cool. Like, that's kind of the ref making it about him. Mm. Like, a little bit of a ref show there from Freddie Valentine. That's what I'm going to start calling him. Because he reminded me of Teddy Valentine. But, like Freddie Valentine calls a moving screen here on Key. Like, he's not moving. That's just him making an ump show.
Yeah, I see.
Like,
Bart,
that's like in
cool.
Little League.
Bart pulled you.
That's like calling batter interference in Little League.
Yeah, and that's what got it right there, the slamming of the ball.
When you see Bart in a tank top, you know why he played football.
He looks
some,
like
some people
the
are
Black
shaped
Hulk.
To play football.
That dude is massive.
Yeah.
By the way, so this is where I knew. I said, Key, we're good. When we were warming up, you know, everybody's out there joshing around, playing around and stuff. And I saw Alan and Bart shoot some warm-up shots. I said, Key.
I thought Alan had a nice soft touch when on the shot.
You would think that.
I know, if you look at my shot.
Oh, that's good, Key. Oh, that was a chippy, Key. You missed that chippy.
Man,
that was the one.
You know how damn tired I was talking about the chippy? I was so tired, man.
Bar made that three. He thought it was good.
After the steal, I should have just shot straight through the lane. I was too tired.
Well, that was it? Yeah, that was the bucket right there. Look, you couldn't even give me a dap. What? Look how tired you are. And he said, Key, Jay, take it.
Key
Jay,
looks like it. Someone back from Old Timers Day. Been retired for about 5 years.
Wait, no. Watch the end. The end is the best. So Key paid. So I know Key's like, all right, Jay, it's time. I'm like, all right, I got it. So now I'm expecting Bart to play some defense. Now watch Key at the end. The ball goes in. Key automatically starts walking to the sideline. He's like, I'm done. I'm done. I'm going to do the post-game interview. He untucks the jersey. He's done.
Man, I'm so damn tired.
Yeah, man. It's
you know how tiring that is, man? Obviously, you do, but... God.
And Alan Hahn took it very personal. I mean, Alan Hahn is just, I mean, he's trying to dunk. He's just, I felt bad for him. He didn't score a point. Last night you could tell it meant something to him. He's like, oh, man, I'm like, it's
Bart started the whole thing. He talked him into it. And look, Bart's fine. Alan's like destroyed by it. And Bart's like, it's nothing to him. He got whooped up. He's fine.
Bart came out with the thick ass. Nah, ankle braces on.
I don't know when the last time I seen somebody wear ankle braces.
Like he had everything on, like the gear. I'm like, see, you don't hurt somebody. I can't.
Tomorrow at 6:30 and 7:30 on ESPN2, you'll be able to watch everything from the 2-on-2 game yesterday.
Oh, we're making it live. We're making it for everybody.
Key and Jay versus Barton Hahn, and the important thing is that KJM, that's Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max won. We won as a team.
The owner.
You'll be able to hear the game right here on ESPN Radio.
Discuss on that, but we won't go there yet. The white owner, I'm like, hey, my team. I'm like, oh, that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing, Key.
Typical owner.
First of all, you have cover. I'm here, so you can say what you want. You know what I'm saying? You have cover. These are my dudes. Anyone in a certain community that might be offended, these are my guys. I can say whatever they want.
Love, I didn't say anything.
But I'm just saying you have. Owner. I'm just saying you have cover.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. You guys, just say what
never
you
played
say.
A damn game in their
just
life.
Came out of nowhere.
Came out of nowhere and hold a trophy.
What else do they have?
Made an interview all about him.
What else do they have in
never
common?
Assembled. First of all, they didn't even put the team together. They didn't even know half the guys
when
on the team.
When we brought Keyshawn and Jay Will into this organization.
Yeah, when we brought Keyshawn from L.A.
Yeah, in from L.A., these were the kind of moments we had envisioned.
Max, before we go to break, tell everybody the line you said yesterday. Key, you scored. Jay, you know, you contributed.
Yeah.
Tell everybody the line that you said.
Listen, we all played our parts. And on this team, on KJM, we don't point to who gets the credit and who gets the blame. Keyshawn scored. He played defense. I did what I did. And also, Jay also contributed to the win. We all contributed to the win in one way or another.
Sound good at it. Like a damn owner.
Oh, he's a New York City hustler. So good at it.
Don't forget, you want to watch this game tomorrow, 6:30 and 7:30, ESPN2. You'll be able to watch everything from our 2-on-2 game. The trophy resides right here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
I can't.
After all the work that's gone in, all the pain the last couple of years with the injuries and the roster changes and player development, just really happy for everybody.
They got, you know, two of the best shooters of all time, and, you know, they move the ball well and feed off each other.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So, Jason.
Or Madden.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah. We were going to, yeah. So, John Madden will appear on the Madden cover for the first time since 2000.
That's dope.
Passed away, of course, in December, 85 years old. The cover of the All Madden edition, guys, has a similar look, a similar looking young John Madden holding a football, busting through what appears to be a paper full of X's and O's. And on the side of the cover in white lettering, it's "Thanks, Coach." And that's like Madden football. That
changed everything.
It changed everything. I think it made the NFL more popular. It made video games more popular. Like it changed everything.
Yeah, it certainly made video games more popular. And Madden, as a whole, made the NFL more popular. I mean, he was the first guy that did the telestration that I can remember. I believe he was the first guy to do the telestration. When he was working with Pat Summerall and they were doing CBS and he would, you know, do the whole telestration deal. But, you know, so many times in the marketing space, people get it wrong . And in this situation, they got it right by putting him on the cover.
Right.
You know, there's some marketing genius, Jay, who says, he just doesn't even think of the importance of John Madden to football. They come up with, maybe we should put Aaron Donald or we should put Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Donald, and Tom Brady coming back. We should put them on the cover.
Well, it's the number one thing is don't screw it up.
Don't screw it up. But you know what's crazy about it, though, is like for me, like I grew up playing Madden. And I used to joke around with Key, like, yo, I played Pop Warner. I got Pop one time. I was like, yo, this sport is not for me.
Right.
But, like, I never knew who John Madden was because all I thought was Madden the video game.
Yeah.
Right? Until,
they know, like, the Raiders coach nothing, right? Yeah.
Nothing, any of that. Until you start doing, my dad's like, you know he was one of them. It's almost like, it's similar, it's like Dick Vitale to a degree. Like, be like, oh, Dick Vitale, college basketball. But, like, for me, like, I didn't know Dick Vitale coach back in the day.
Right.
You know, and what that meant. So, it transcended the game.
You know, there's
elevated the game.
Madden's interface too, the way it looks and feels when you play it, even just like flipping through the players and stuff. There was a video game, EA Sports for baseball, MVP 2005.
Oh, wow, yeah. Okay, I know you're talking about this one.
And to this day, I'll still pop that in and flip around a little bit, just like look at it a little, mess with it a little, because it reminds, the interface is basically Madden, right?
Yeah.
They got it so perfect.
Learning about coverages.
I'm
going to
go cop Madden because if you really want to learn the league, go play Madden for a little while. And you'll figure out who's on, you know, who can do what. They get it pretty good.
Key, when's the last time you played Madden?
Last year, I think.
Last year?
Last year I played with Snoop.
Madden back in 10 seconds.
The Pro Bowl.
That's what's up.
Yeah, it was a Pro Bowl.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Some of the things, we had some preparation with Miami off-ball actions. Now we're taking it to another level with their execution and their shooters.
Just respect in terms of understanding what he brings to the table on that end of the floor. He's relentless. He's physical. He's smart. Finds a way to be in the right place at the right time.
So we got to make it as tough as possible and, you know, make sure nothing is easy, because if it's easy, it's gonna be a tough time.
Hey.
Yeah. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. And it is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Klay Thompson, guys, back in the NBA Finals. There's some dude you think would be great in any era. I think Klay Thompson would be great in any era. He has an old-school mentality. He can shoot. He can handle for a guy who can shoot at the two-guard position. He defends everything.
He'd have been a 13-assist-a-game guy back in the day. Probably would have had average 12 and 13, right?
What do you mean?
12 points, 13 assists. That's probably what he would have been able to do back in the day because of the style.
Style? Maybe 12 rebounds.
Yeah.
He would have got like 12 rebounds, bunch of boards.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, because of his size frame. How he played.
Is there anyone in NBA history, forget about who could get hotter, who could get as hot as Klay Thompson? I think he gets hotter than any player who ever lived. When he's feeling it, on no dribbles, fills it up in the blink of an eye.
So I just want to state this because I think it's very important and it's personal for me. Because you guys know I've been through a lot of surgeries and things with my leg and things of that sort. Yo, to come back from a torn Achilles, right? Like we see Achilles wipe people out. I mean, even what KD's been able to do for torn Achilles, that's one thing. But a torn ACL in combination with the torn Achilles, after not playing basketball for 2 years, pretty much, this dude is back in the NBA Finals. And when you think about it, he's been to 6 straight NBA Finals. Straight! If you discount the 2 years he did not play. It's absolutely incredible. And we're going to talk about Steph. We're going to talk about legacy, top 10. We're going to talk about, you know, dynasty for the Golden State Warriors. We're going to talk about the Celtics and the history with the Lakers and who has more championships. But this story will be so understated, the fact that he's in the NBA Finals and he may not be who he was 2 years ago, but to still be a version of yourself and to still have some of the games he's had.
It ain't a coincidence that he's back and they are.
It's so special.
But CJ, you said, right, be the guy he was 2 years ago. What I saw that last outing, what looked different?
On the offensive end.
The defensive end, he was still cool.
Yeah, he was
but
cool,
he was
but he was
real
but he was the best. He was probably the best wing. He was in the conversation for best wing defender.
Of the guys who score.
Him, Kawhi, they were in that conversation.
True, but if you look at the last game out, I didn't see anything different. It looked the same to me. Hmm. It just didn't seem like he did anything different.
It looks different to me because when Klay used to get up underneath you, he would be so fast laterally that you wouldn't be able to breathe, man. Mm. Like, he was so good at that. And he can still get up underneath you through moments, but the lateral pop that he used to have was so elite, it's not there like it used to be.
The Achilles, what I noticed from the Achilles is
that's okay, though.
Guys can come back from it nowadays much better than they used to, except for Dominique was the one guy who could otherwise used to end careers. But where it affects them is on the defensive end. Even when they're willing to play it, they don't seem to be as good on the defensive end after that injury.
But here's the thing that makes you worried about the Warriors moving forward. And I've said this, like, we played in our 2-on-2 game yesterday. I can't move the same way I moved, 19 years ago. But I can still shoot that thing very close to it, right? Mm-hmm. So when you have a handle and you can shoot that thing and you play continuity basketball, you can play this game a long time. Because you can space out the floor, and then you have the young pups and Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole that can open things up, get to the rack.
See,
it
that's
creates
the
a different
big,
dynamic.
The big difference on this team to me of the non-KD Warriors teams, the only thing you could really do against those Warriors teams pre-KD was, and it's not that Klay can't handle and make decisions. He can. But if he's doing that, that's not exactly what you want as the Warriors, right? So if you could force Klay to put the ball on the floor and make decisions with the ball, and it's still not a great option, but it's better than other options, right? Now they have Poole and Wiggins. There are too many dudes who can do what you need them to do on that team.
See, I think what has happened to y'all, though, Jay, is because of his injuries, y'all looking at it and saying, you don't want him to do this, you don't want him to do that, he can't do this, or he can't do that. I'm watching this dude from 2 years ago, and I'm watching him over the last several weeks. He looks like the same guy to me. He can put the ball on the floor if he needs to off a dribble. He can pull it. He can catch and shoot. He may not be getting all the way underneath guys yet, but I bet you in this series coming up against Boston, that's going to change.
There's an expression. It's a difference of degree, not kind. And I think that's what you're saying. Like, he's still Klay Thompson. You may say he's a degrees different than he used to be, but he's still basically Klay Thompson, right? He still shoots it. He's still willing to play defense. He's still long.
I think what I'm saying, I'm not saying that he's worse.
I'm appreciating it. No.
Like, because often to compensate off a torn ACL and then have a torn Achilles on crazy. Different legs. Like, I'm sitting here applauding this man, and I'm saying even if he's slightly off with his lateral quickness, what he is doing deserves so much praise because it's phenomenal.
Here he is on listen to Klay. Listen to Klay talk about this season right now.
A lot of us don't look back on 2019 and 2016 with great reverence. We kind of look back on it with a little more pain in our eyes and a little heartache because we know how hard it is to – lose a game seven in the NBA Finals or a game six. So we want to obviously win the last game of the year, and then we can, you know, that does mark a great season, obviously. But if we lose, it was still a good season, but it wasn't great.
I'm just saying, man, this dude was on the sideline. He was doing broadcasting. He talked about it. I know a lot of people very close to Klay, how difficult it was for him. And even think about the margin of getting to a championship game is so slim because when Klay came back this year, the same game he came back, his first game, is when Draymond went out. And then when Dre was coming back, then Steph went out due to the Marcus Smart diving on his leg. So it's been kind of disjointed for most of the year, but now they're actually healthy when it matters the most.
Kendra Andrews was on this just in 2 p.m. Eastern ESPN. Yesterday, and told me she had spoken.
Say handsome host.
Well, I rely on one of you to mention that now. She had spoken to Draymond Green, and Dre, I thought, made a great point, as he often does, which is the Warriors teams in the past had veterans, but their best players weren't their most experienced players. Very good players on the team, like Iguodala, were experienced, but their very best. But now, best players are also their most experienced players, championship tested. And in addition to that, they got young, athletic, supporting cast. It's going to be a problem. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. The NBA Finals are on ESPN Radio. Tune in for Game 1 tonight as the Warriors host the Celtics, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Are we overlooking a key component to the Celtics' run to the finals?
The NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio from the play-in tournament.
Bring it the horn, he's got it! Got it! Got it!
Until a champion is crowned at the finals, the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So five down flex is a play, Jay? It's time for progressive NBA snapshot. Jay's got his run in the point of the top five storylines of the NBA Finals.
Let's do it, Yates. There we go, number five. Look, people are going to talk about Stephen Curry, his legacy. Horrible. Let's not do that, please. Let's talk about basketball. Let's talk about breakdowns. And let's give Klay Thompson a lot of love. One of the most understated stories in all of sports. The guy didn't play basketball for 940 days. Oof. He's had a torn ACL, a torn Achilles, and now here we are in May finding himself, I'm sorry, in June, finding himself back in his sixth straight NBA Finals. Did you hear me? Six straight NBA Finals. Has he lost a little bit of a step? Yes, because I'm a basketball guy who plays basketball at a very high level, slightly, but to the common eye, you would never see it. The fact that he is still a primary defender, the fact that he can still shoot that thing and do things off the dribble, kudos to you, Klay Thompson. Cheers to you, my brother. Keep thriving and have a successful NBA Finals. Next up, I'm getting emotional.
At four.
Number four, Smart versus Curry. Did you know that over 8 years, Marcus Smart, as a primary defender, has held Stephen Curry to 29% shooting overall? Wow. There's a guy next to me named Max Kellerman who every single day I hear about Stephen Curry and about doing it in the biggest moments. Well, if you are a person on that side of the fight, you are going to pay attention to the fact that Marcus Smart has held Stephen Curry to 29% shooting over the last 8 years. And you're going to pay attention to that matchup because you want to see Stephen Curry, who's averaging 27 points pretty much in the NBA Finals, be Stephen Curry with that shot. Boy, you want to see it. And we're going to get a chance to see it coming up. Next up.
At three.
Celtics' 18th title. So look, LeBron James said something the other day, and yeah, I'm finding a way to bring LeBron James into the conversation. You may not like it, but I don't care. LeBron James 6 years ago said, you put my mother on the floor. If she were to wear a Boston Celtics uniform, I want to break her face. This rivalry is so real. And the fact that Bron is at home watching this Celtics team have a chance to go for their 18th world championship, let's not act like that's not a massive story. And Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown, and Marcus Smart. This is a core that's going to be around for a long time. Let's get used to talking about the Boston Celtics once again being in the championship conversation. Next up.
At two.
So, Ime Udoka, let's talk about teams like Detroit, teams like Indiana, teams like Cleveland that all passed over him. Let's talk about the coaching tree he comes from. Greg Popovich, he was with the 76ers. He was across the East River with the Brooklyn Nets. And now he has the Celtics, and he's trying to become the fourth first-year head coach in the past eight seasons to win a title, to put his name in the same conversation with Steve Kerr, Ty Lue, and Nick Nurse. That is the trajectory of where Ime Udoka is going as a first-year head coach in the NBA. Cheers to you, Ime. Next up.
And running point.
The golden opportunity. This blew my mind last night coming back from the Rangers game, reading this because I never thought it. Golden opportunity, Max and Key. Seeking their fourth NBA championship in eight seasons and seventh overall for the Golden State Warriors. If they were to get their seventh overall, they would pass the Chicago Bulls for sole possession of third place all time for NBA championships, only behind the Lakers and the Celtics. You talk about dynasties. Oh, that's going to start to be a conversation if these dudes get it done. We're going to start talking about Draymond Green, Stephen Curry, and Klay Thompson. We can talk about it like MJ, Scotty, Dennis Rodman, those trios of the best, you're going to start mentioning their name in that conversation.
The Progressive NBA Snapshot brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
That conversation is not already?
Well, you would say that because Jordan got six, right? Like, yeah. They got six, like Steph, Klay, and Draymond. This would have been their fourth. but still as a franchise, history of the franchise, it kind of ignites or starts the conversation.
I guess
there's still a lot more work for them to do.
Yeah.
It just it talks about it to a degree.
No, I think as from the individual standpoint, as players, not the franchise, so to speak, as players though, they will have had four, now they've got three. It's almost like the conversation is already started on, you know, when you got three, that's a lot,
well,
right?
MJ, Scotty, and Dennis got 3 in 3 years. Which was
and MJ absurd. Grant and Pippen got 3 in 3 years.
I understand. Yeah. I understand the years.
MJ, Scotty, and Grant got 3 in 3 years, and then Horace Grant, and then MJ, Scotty, and Dennis got 3 in 3 years.
No, I guess 3 in 3 years is obviously great, but to have three, I don't give a damn when you got them.
I hear you.
That's a lot.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
A lot of dudes walking around with NBA jackets on.
Yeah.
That got 3 world championships.
No, most got 0.
Then it's the 6 NBA finals in 8 years, and then you start thinking about the 2 times that they didn't get it. They could have gotten it.
Look, your last point on the Warriors is interesting, and we're going to talk about the Celtics a little later in the show and what that because you know with Warriors getting 7 championships, you go, oh, well, they're so far behind the Lakers and Celtics.
Well, it is a long ways.
But when I was a kid,
it's crazy, right?
Just to let you know how this happens, when I was a kid, the Celtics were on 13 and the Lakers were on like 6, and they were never going to catch the Celtics. So the Celtics were more than double them, right? And here we are. You know, a bunch of decades later, they're both sitting on 17. We're going to get into what it would mean for the Celtics to win their 18th a little later in the show. But guys, listen to Jason Tatum talk about the Warriors and what they have on that team right now.
They got, you know, 2 of the best shooters of all time, and, you know, they move the ball well and feed off each other. You know, so we got to make it as tough as possible and, you know, make sure nothing is easy, because if it's easy, it's going to be a tough time.
Jay, you brought up something I think we should talk about right now, which is Steph Curry and Marcus Smart. Right, you've convinced me that it's not Steph or Tatum, but Marcus Smart, who's the most important player in this series. And we could talk about why, because on the offensive end, in addition to being fatigued because he's going to have to chase Curry all around, what that means. But let's just focus on what this means for Steph Curry. You said it. Marcus Smart holds him to 29% shooting, the greatest shooter ever. What kind of is this Steph Curry's greatest challenge, considering the team is deep in everything, but they're going to sick the guy on him who does better on him than anyone else?
So I've been saying this over the last 5 days. I said that the Golden State Warriors and Stephen Curry, this is his greatest challenge individually against the defensive player of the year at the same position. And historically, this is the best team they've ever met defensively, metric-wise, in the NBA Finals. So you have 5 switchable guys that all communicate, and even with their continuity, like, there is the physicality that the Boston Celtics bring to the table. Now, look, Marcus Smart is hobbled up. He's had the ankle injury, the quad injury, the foot injury, all on the same leg. Pretty much in the last series against the Heat, he was playing on one leg, right? So that is a question coming into this, the health of Marcus Smart. But if there's a guy individually that you think is the kryptonite to Stephen Curry, you couldn't ask for a better matchup for the Boston Celtics. You can't.
Yeah, I think when you look at it from Jay's standpoint, you talk about Smart having to play both ends of the floor. That is, in my opinion, going to favor Steph, because mm-hmm. he's also got to run the offense and put everybody in position for the Celtics. And then he has to go on the other end of the floor and chase Steph around, fight through screens, all of those sort of things. So he's got his work cut out for him for sure. But you're right, Jay. I think as I started to think about it in those championships that they did win or they lost, this is – probably the best defensive team that they will have faced.
And Max, this is how you have to do it. So if you're watching the screen, Marcus Smart, whenever Stephen Curry comes off any kind of pin down action, right, you see him, he gets very physical. You'll always see Marcus Smart with a forearm, like kind of like in the hip of mm-hmm. Stephen Curry, pushing him off position, right? I think that's something that's really big going into this finals. Pushing somebody off their position for Stephen Curry. And when Steph likes to dance with the ball, like, at times it seems like he's loose with the ball, but he's not.
Like jamming a receiver at the line of scrimmage.
All day long. So that and Marcus wants him to take contested, difficult shots. So think about this, Key. If I'm coming down and I'm getting us in our offense and say we score, think about how difficult this is from the guard perspective. We score. Say Jason Tatum, like, I come down, I kick the ball to the corner, my momentum's taking me out of bounds, Jason Tatum makes a 3. It can't be like, woo, we got a three. It's like, where is Stephen Curry? Where is he at? I got to find him. I got to meet him early. I got to make him work. I got to get him tired.
Do you find
it's going to be the biggest test mentally for Marcus Smart out of any series he's ever played in his career.
I can imagine, and then have to play instinctual point guard, but also tamp down his instinct to score at times, and so he's also kind of got to be in his head. It's a lot for Marcus
Smart.
Well,
a good thing about him though is he's a guy who's played both ends of the floor his entire career.
Yep.
So it's not something that's new to him. It's just a different challenge, especially having a little bit of an injury.
I remember when he came out, it was the Lakers won some meaningless game at the end of the season, I think against the Celtics, and as a result wound up with Julius Randle instead of Marcus Smart in the draft, and
yeah,
they were both
happens,
good, but I was
like,
I think you want Marcus Smart.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, but Max, we have Patrick Beverley up in here and Kawhi Leonard even a couple years ago. Like, people don't understand the amount of effort you have. Like, Stephen runs over 3.5 miles per game.
Yeah.
3.5 miles. We were playing 2-on-2 half court yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I was tired watching.
Dudes are tired, so now imagine running down.
What no damn dudes. I was tired.
I would say Bart was tired, too.
So, I think three of the four were tired. Yeah, let's just put it that way.
So this is what's interesting to me about the series, too, guys, because when you break it down, so BPI, right? ESPN, we have the metrics. Like, over 80% chance for the Celtics to win the series. But Vegas,
I got Golden State.
Favors Golden State. Me too. I don't even know if the series is going seven. But Vegas favors Golden State. And what's interesting to me about that is this. There's this idea of, there was a famous book written once upon a time called The Madness of Crowds, right? Group hysteria and everything. James Surowiecki, a writer, I don't know, he might be at the, I don't know where he is right now, but he had a book called The Wisdom of Crowds.
Okay.
And the premise of the book was when a whole bunch of people, when the public all shares and has certain information that everyone knows and also has their own kind of private information, that group will make better decisions always than the smartest member of that group. Right? So we all of us together are smarter than the smartest one of us. You'd think, well, the dumb people would make us the smart ones dumber. No, the wisdom of crowds, right? Vegas, the line betting line in Vegas reflects the wisdom of crowds because they want equal action on both sides of the line. And if they get the line wrong and the crowd starts moving the line, that will reflect the wisdom of crowds. That's why it's so hard to beat the spread, right? So hard to beat Vegas. How can BPI have it so lopsided for the Celtics and Vegas still like the Warriors?
Look,
it's just interesting to me.
Chance for them to win the NBA Finals.
I don't agree with BPI. I agree with Vegas.
Yeah, I think
I agree with
Vegas.
My eyes. How about that?
Well, my eyes tell me that Boston is a little bit hobbled up right now. And another major factor is Robert Williams. You know, how will he be? Because when you can be physical, when you can press up on the three-point shooters and you force them to be two-point threats, when you have a rim protector like Robert Williams who can not only block shots but also deter shots. Like, people don't talk about that enough, right? Having a presence, like coming down the lane and seeing Shaq there, just seeing Shaq makes you think about, damn, how am I going to get this shot off? It increases the level of difficulty that you take over that shot threat.
So these are the two best defensive teams in the league. Celtics 1, Warriors 2. But the Celtics, the two guys you wonder about in terms of how healthy, how close to 100% are they going to be, are Marcus Smart and Robert Williams.
Yes.
The two best defenders on the team.
Yes.
That's a problem, isn't it?
It's a problem, but, I mean, they've managed. I mean, every team is injured to a degree. We could have another injury during the NBA Finals. How you manage injury determines whether you can be successful or not.
But this is a different offense they're going to see, too, though.
Agreed.
That's going to be.
You mean
big,
the Celtics are going to see?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, like Jay was saying, you playing against different teams with injuries and things of that nature, and you could have another injury. Who knows? But let's assume everything stays healthy. This is a different offense.
Yeah, they got so much firepower.
From KD to Kyrie, ISO. From Giannis, he has the ball at top of key. Everybody sees it coming. Continuity was a little bit with Miami, but you knew Jimmy Butler had to be prolific. Like, Klay Thompson could be prolific. Andrew Wiggins has been prolific. Jordan Poole could be prolific. There's a lot more options in the continuity
that's
system
your,
in which
that's
they run.
The best Steph argument. His style means the ball moves. Draymond's style means the ball moves. Klay can score 30 points in a quarter off two dribbles. Don't forget, tomorrow, 6:30 and 7:30 on ESPN2, you'll be able to watch everything from the 2-on-2 game yesterday with Bart and Hahn. Key and Jay versus Bart and Hahn. You'll also be able to hear the game right here on ESPN Radio. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance.
Saban was smart. He acted like it was no big deal. I didn't say anything. He was challenged, and obviously you can call him disingenuous or call him just Nick Saban.
It's over with. We're done talking about it, what happens, and we're moving on to the future, what goes on, and try to fix the problems of what we have in college football. We're a lot more pressing needs than our arguments. We're moving on to do what we got. I have no problem.
All right. Nick Saban, according to Heather Dinich, guys, everyone got the memo. Hey, don't start calling out everyone by name and Progress by name, right? Nick Saban was kind of squirming, kind of walking it back. Jimbo Fisher, and Nick Saban is a Bill Belichick disciple, right? But off that tree. But it was Jimbo Fisher, Key, who reminded me of Bill Belichick, kind of buttoned up, not going to really deal with it. We're going to look forward. It's behind us.
What good is it continue to just keep talking about the same thing over and over and over and over again? Like, what is he going to say different than what he already said? He already put his message out there that how he felt about Nick and how he felt about what Nick said. So it's time to move on from that. I mean, obviously, in the media wants the juicy conversation back and forward to be able to, oh, my God, you hear what he said? But as a coach, you sit, it's like, man, I'm done with that now. It's time to move on. You know, we've already talked about it. I've seen him in the hallway. I'm sure, you know, we cut eyes on each other and we keep it moving.
How much of that is because Nick Saban's the one who stepped in it? Then Jimbo Fisher can kind of take his shot, then take the high road, and Nick Saban's the one with the explaining to do, and Jimbo can just be like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, all of that is true, but why continue to keep agitating the situation? I said what I said, Jay.
Well, Key, you know how this game works, man. I laughed at it as soon as I saw it happen. I was like, people started attacking Jimbo Fisher. Oh, he took it over the line. I'm like, oh, okay, but he got attacked by the greatest coach of all time.
But that's the way the wind blows.
Isn't it crazy? Nick says it. Like, and it's the whole Nick Saban defense was like, whoa, Jimbo, way too personal.
Because, because they realize if you cross Nick, you probably going to get yourself in trouble. Yep. Moving down there the line because you're going to need him. So when it first came out, like you said, Jay was like, oh, God, what did Nick say? Oh, Jimbo was right. He should have did that. Then Nick came back and said, well, you know, I really didn't mean to say it this way, guys. This is what it was. Jimbo should never say that about Nick.
He crossed the line.
He called him this, and he basically, that's the game. Nick's the guy.
The power, you want to know where the power is? Look at that dynamic, right? You know, it's basically people are making predictions. They look at the past. They go, Nick Saban's always going to be there.
Always.
We're going to need him going forward.
Absolutely.
We're not alienating the power, right?
No, we meaning like when I say we, I'm talking about I'm a college coach basically now. I'm somewhere in the college circle. We said what we said about Nick really quick. Now I got to get off that train. I can't ride that train anymore.
Well, now how much are things changing now, though? How emboldened will someone like Jimbo Fisher be with the NILs, with this and that, and with transfer portals, and with the money now if they got deeper pockets?
No, he's going to leave Nick alone.
You got to leave Nick alone now because one of the things that he did, Jay, is he rallied his troops. They spoke now. We're okay now. I had 5 million. I got 50 now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, y'all know I needed this money. See what happened. Everybody's like,
the
okay.
Whole point of yes. Nick Saban going at Jimbo in the first
was
place
to get the money.
Was to get boosters to pony
yes.
up.
Yes.
Yeah. But just trust and believe every time we talk about these two, that line will be utilized by the media as a weapon to a degree.
Which one?
Where he talked about he knows where the bodies are buried.
Yeah but nobody cares about that now. That's
well, now, because now it's legal.
Yeah, it's over.
It's legal now. But still, like, those are – it's legal, though, Key, until it's not, because it wasn't legal before. And if stuff were to ever get out about what happened before, that could ruin the credibility of
Nick
Saban.
Yeah, but he could always say, I don't – what is this guy talking about? Yeah, what are you
– So he didn't say that.
No, he hurried up and jumped up and made sure that it gets squashed.
Yeah.
But Nick can always put his hands –
So given the fact that – Nick's basically fundraising, right?
Yes.
And given the fact that Jimbo's coming up in the world, given the new climate, did anyone actually overplay their hand, or did everyone play it right up to the line and they're good?
See, here's what I would say. I like them both, and I respect both Jimbo and Nick Saban. But if you told me, Max, I had to pick one.
Rolling with Nick?
I'm rolling with Nick, man.
He's the greatest of all time. Yeah.
I'm rolling with him. I'm rolling with him because my money is he'll be back in the Final Four.
Agreed.
And Jimbo Fisher will be trying
maybe
to
figure yes,
it
maybe
out.
No. Yeah, a lot of maybes with everyone else. With Nick Saban, you're like,
yeah,
he's going to be there.
You know, he got the best player in college football, and Bryce Young. I'm probably going to side with Nick in terms of where he's at. Not what he said, but in terms of where he's at now. I'm one of those guys. You know, I got my five-minute Nick bash in. Now I'm with you again, Nick.
And it did feel, though, like Jimbo and I, we've known Jimbo for a while, too. Jimbo took advantage of that opportunity, right? Like, it was like, oh, the attention's on me. Let me tell y'all how I really feel. But we're going to talk about Nick Saban way more than we'll talk about Jimbo Fisher.
No, but he's right.
That was his moment.
It's like a fight. Like, you have your opening, land your 1-2. Get out, man. Get out. Don't wait for the receipt. Get out. Get out.
Yes.
Get out.
Let it go to the cards.
Yeah. Nick was wrong. You shouldn't have did that, Nick. By the way, hey, Nick, you want to come on our show? You
know, yeah. Don't get greedy, man. You landed the 1-2. You don't have to put a hook behind it. Just a 1-2. So here's the question now, guys. Did one of the NBA's big duo help set up this NBA Finals matchup? That's next on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.